Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here with Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully and mostly optimistically. Today we're going to be talking about carbon capture and storage, CCS as its shorthand terminology has it. So just to set the stage, the reason we have climate change is primarily because of the fossil fuel emissions that come along with industrialization, plus some other significant but lesser issues such as industrial agricultural practices, cement and steel manufacture. Since the start of the Industrial Revolution, we have increased the carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere by 50%, a level unseen in the last 800,000 years, and that's a change more rapid than any other in the history of the Earth. Carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuel burning constitute the major part of the greenhouse gases that are causing the Earth to warm. As an aside, methane, which comes from several different sources, including the extraction of underground methane, agricultural practices, landfills, and so on, methane contributes about 25% of global warming impact. But so far as I know, there is no talk about capturing methane out of the atmosphere, primarily because the concentrations are so small, especially compared to carbon dioxide. It's clear that the way of addressing methane pollution is stopping it at its source. I don't really like the term natural gas, which is favored by the industry because it's so misleading. There's not one single thing that's natural about the gas that we've pulled out of the ground. It's primarily methane, and for us to be digging up methane, burning it, and leaking it into the atmosphere is not natural at all. So going forward, I prefer to use the term methane, which is more honest and more accurate. So back to carbon dioxide. There are two conceptually possible ways of addressing this ever-increasing concentration of carbon dioxide. We can stop burning fossil fuels, or we can hope to pull carbon dioxide out of smokestacks at a rate at least as fast as we are pumping it into the atmosphere. Big picture, keeping the future livable climate-wise does depend on stopping the increase in fossil fuel pollution just as a starter. I'll talk more later on about what we do if, and I repeat if, we're able to stop adding atmospheric carbon dioxide and methane. One very significant source of carbon dioxide pollution comes from the production of electricity, coal and methane being the primary fossil fuels used in producing electricity. So the idea behind carbon capture and storage is that as these CO2 pollutants are going up the smokestack, there is a means to capture at least some of it and thereby reduce to an extent the amount of carbon dioxide released into the atmosphere. And by doing that, to make fuels like coal and methane less greenhouse gas intensive. But first, before we get into the weeds, let's take a look at the pickle we're in, and it is without a doubt a pickle. The Earth is warming at a historically unprecedented rate. Fossil fuels are the primary culprit. There are alternative energy sources that don't rely on fossil fuels, and the attendant pollution, things like wind, solar, hydro, nuclear, and a few smaller players like geothermal and tidal energy. And also, just as an aside here, I should say that there is no free lunch anywhere. While these alternative sources of energy are cleaner, for the most part, way, way cleaner, they still come with environmental costs. So while there are cleaner energy sources, right now looked at globally, and when it comes to climate change, that's the only way to look. We have to look globally about climate change. 85% of the energy used in the world comes from fossil fuels, coal, oil, methane. At the same time, demand for and use of energy is increasing, and it's not forecast to get better because world demand for energy is increasing. We've produced more CO2 in the last 30 years than in all the rest of human history. And boy, do we love our energy. At a dollar to the price of gasoline, and there's an outcry. Lots of talk about global warming, but the political reality is that we're not doing a fraction of what we need to be doing to stabilize the global temperature. So yes, we are in a pickle. And although there are ways out of the jam, most people don't really seem to want to take action, at least those people in countries that are major producers of fossil fuel emissions. So there's the desire to have abundant, cheap energy, and as things stand right now, the only way to get that abundant, cheap energy is via fossil fuels. So enter the idea of carbon capture and storage. The idea of capturing carbon dioxide is particularly popular in the fossil fuel industry because it means to them that they can continue to burn the resources they already own. If we stop burning those resources, then those deposits of oil and methane that are presently worth a lot become worthless. So yes, industry supports the idea of carbon capture and storage. And along with similar lines of reasoning, folks who either don't believe that we can transition to clean energy or think that doing that transition will be unacceptably damaging to their lifestyles or to the national economies support carbon capture and storage. So there are ways of getting CO2 out of the smokestacks. That is, most of it. The closer technology gets to pulling all of the carbon dioxide out, the more expensive it becomes. So in practical terms, right now at least, about 90% of carbon dioxide can be pulled out. However, the only way this can be done profitably, and folks using carbon capture and storage are profit-driven, is to use the captured carbon dioxide to pump underground under pressure to recover oil and gas in mostly depleted wells, oil and gas that otherwise would be unrecoverable and would be a stranded asset. So I'm not kidding here. The proponents of carbon capture and storage like to talk about the part where they pull carbon dioxide out of the power plant flues. They don't like to talk about the part that it's just used to pump more fossil fuels out of the ground with the attendant increase in greenhouse gases that must, by the nature of the beast, be produced and released. If it's to have a significant impact, the global CCS industry must grow by a factor of more than 100 by the year 2050 to reach climate targets. This means building 70 to 100 facilities a year. So far, we've built less than 30 worldwide. How long does it take to build a CCS? Large infrastructure projects like CCS take 7 to 10 years from concept study through feasibility to design, construction, and then operation. That means if we ramped up right now, it would be 2030 before the first new ones came online. Are you starting to see the outlines of the pickle we're in? We haven't reduced our fossil fuel use. We've increased it, and alternatives like nuclear and CCS take a long time to bring online. So is CCS just pie in the sky, or are there actual efforts to do this? The United States has 12 operational commercial CCS facilities that together have an annual capacity to store about 0.4% of national emissions, and that's just capacity, not saying they're actually doing that. None of these facilities would exist without massive federal funding. Many projects have been proposed but have either failed to reach startup or have been suspended because of financial or operational issues, including the $1 billion Petranova plant in Texas that was mothballed last year, a project that received massive federal subsidies, also known as our taxes. The only way I can see forward to carbon capture and storage actually being financially viable is if we put a price on fossil fuel emissions, and that would mean putting a price high enough on the fossil fuel emissions that it makes carbon capture and storage viable. And we have to figure some way of making sure that the carbon is captured and then is put back in the earth, just not used to pump up more carbon. Where we spend money and our efforts to stop fossil fuel pollution is an important question. As things stand right now, it doesn't seem to me that carbon capture and storage is a place we should be investing taxpayer money. We should be investing in proven technology that is available right now. So let's just sum up a bit. The scale of deployment of CCS to date is significantly less than proponents have predicted, with less than 30 CCS plants currently in operation globally. Global operational CCS capacity is about 0.1% of annual global emissions from fossil fuels. Over 80% of carbon captured to date has been used to extract more oil via the process of enhanced oil recovery. This means CCS is being predominantly used for carbon-emitting oil extraction that wouldn't have otherwise been possible. Current CCS projects usually target 90% capture at peak capacity. The Petranova facility missed capture targets by around 17% in the period from 2017 until it was mothballed in May of 2020. To top it all off, we need a 50 to 80% increase in the cost of electricity in order to pay for the implementation of carbon capture and storage technology. So just to finish up here, just because we stop adding to the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere doesn't mean we're done. And that's the big if, that if we do that at some time in the future, that being stop adding to global CO2 concentrations, we have to find a way to get that too much carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. We need to reduce it over time. That carbon dioxide we've put out there is going to be in the air for decades, centuries, even millennia, impacting the world's climate. So if we were ever to return to anything like the climate we've had for the last 10,000 years, we need to get that excess carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And right now, the only way to do that is through a thing called direct air capture. There are experimental direct air capture facilities in the works, but the logistics going forward and scaling up to some kind of meaningful level at this time are overwhelming. So still the place where we are is, let's stop putting fossil fuel pollution into the atmosphere. So that's it for today. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. Love to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts, comments, suggestions. And the CCL part there is for Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit. Check it out. Join in with folks like-minded. Doesn't matter whether it's CCL or not to me. Just join up with other folks. Let your voice be heard. Always remembering that the least effective voice is the one that's never raised. You can learn more about CCL at cclTacoma.org. Also, I'd like to remind you that all Climate Talk shows are archived at the KTAH website. Just do a internet search for KTAH in Tacoma, look under programming, and you can find the archive. Okay, here I am once again, reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.